This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
My question is this: does God call his people to specific tasks in this day and age? Does he do that? When you think of, because the reason I say that is because when you think of God calling people, we always go back to the biblical examples, Moses and Abraham and Peter and Paul, and they're all bigger than life biblical characters. And we think, oh yeah, that's what God used to do back then. But what about today? Does God speak to individual Christians? And if he does, what should our response be to that? Is it possible that God would even call me? Is it possible that God would call you to some task? Well, this weekend we're going to look at an example of how God called someone for a specific task. And we're going to see the life of Elisha, that we're going to see the truth that God indeed does call people today. And when he does, what he wants from us is our obedience. And if we will be obedient to him many times, we will see fruit from that calling. So we're going to look at the example of Elijah. You can find it in chapter 19, verse 19. Let's look at it. It says this: so he, and he is referring to Elijah, not Elisha, he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." And he said, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Guys, this story, as brief as it is, gives us three truths about how God calls and how we should respond to that calling. And the first truth is very simple. It's just this: God calls. When God calls comes, man, it comes clearly. In verse 19, what we see is, here's Elijah. He's a farmer. He's doing what all farmer lads do. He's working the land. It's his father's farm. He could never have guessed that Elijah was going to come walking across that field. He could never guess when he got up that morning that God had something special for him. So Elijah really had, as far as we know, no preparation for what happened on that day. Now, some of you might be asking, well, Art, what did happen? We don't see much going on here. Well, it says that Elisha passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And a cloak in that day would have been an outer garment. It could have been draped. It's kind of like a shawl. And so he took that outer garment off, Elisha, and put it on Elisha. But when he threw that cloak, notice that Elisha knew exactly what it meant. That when that cloak of Elijah's went on his shoulders, he knew that something was being transferred more than just the cloak. And what he understood was that God was calling him to be the next prophet. Now, a cloak kind of makes sense as a symbol if you think about it, because a cloak was a kind of a uniform, and when he wore that, you know, when Elijah wore that uniform, he was performing the office of prophet. And now when that uniform now was on Elisha's shoulders, he understood that something was being transferred. Bottom line, what I want to say is Elisha knew exactly what the cloak meant. There was no confusion about it. He understood. He grasped. There was no confusion. Oh, yes, God is saying something to me. He's calling me to replace Elijah to be the next prophet. Now, what in the world does Elisha's calling have to do with you and me today? Very simple. Elijah's example helps us to see that God does indeed call believers, and when he does, he will do it clearly in a way that you can understand. So you don't have to worry, oh no, will I miss it? Listen, if we're listening to God, we are going to hear the call of God. Now, some of you are saying, well, Art, but it doesn't sound right. You mean God calls people today? That calling was in the Old Testament. Didn't he only do that in the Old Testament? Listen, If you've been in church for a while, you may have even heard somebody say, well, God called me to do this. It may have sounded very exotic. It may have sounded, you know, man, that I guess God calls special people to do a special task. Listen, there is a very clear and simple definition for calling. A calling, biblically, is just God's personal, individual summons to carry out the unique task that he has specifically given to you. And I thought about that verb, summons, a lot before I use it. I started with the verb invites. But I thought, no. God's not inviting you. He's summoning you. He's saying, now you can still refuse the summons, right? You know, you can still do that. But what God is saying is, man, I want you to do this. Now, of course, a call can be a short-term call. Some of you may have felt called to some ministry. Oh, this year God is calling me to invest in this ministry. Or this year God is calling me to invest in that person. But also, a call can be a long-term call. We just heard Jerry and Wilma up here saying, God called us. That was 10 years ago. And I'm sure they're going to be true to that call for as long as they hear God saying, this is it. I want you to know that I consider my calling as a pastor to be, man, it's continuing until God lifts that call. And so I'm not looking to get out, you know. He summons individuals to specific tasks. And the Bible is full of examples of that, from Moses to Matthew to the Apostle Paul, who he called to preach the gospel to specifically to Gentiles. They're all there. You should remember that God does have some common calls. All Christians are called to redemption. All Christians are called to follow Jesus. All Christians are called to be a part of God's community. But what we're talking about here is God saying to an individual, I summon you to a specific task that is unique to you. You say, Art, do you really mean that God has a plan and that he might include a specific task for me? Is that really possible? Is God really, does he think ahead like that, you know, and really, you know, have something for me to do? Well, guys, this is exemplified in how he calls Elisha. I want you to go back to verse 15 if you have a Bible, but if you don't, we'll put it up here. I want you to see what God told Elijah about Elisha before Elijah ever called Elisha. Before the cloak ever got thrown, man, what was God saying about Elisha? Look what he says in verse 15. And the Lord said to him, talking to Elijah, go, return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall appoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Now, guys, forget all the stuff that's going on in this passage. Forget all the names. Here's the only thing I want you to get from these verses. God was thinking about Elisha before he was ever called. He had things for him to do before he was ever called. In other words, yes, it's possible that God will think about you, will have a task for you, because we serve a purposeful God. And he has a purpose for your life, and he has individual things for you to do. And if you say, well, Art, that was just the Old Testament. Guys, here's my deal. Just read the entire book of Acts and see if God is still calling people to do specific things. And what you find out is that God, yes, is still calling people to specific tasks. Now, before we talk about a second truth, some of you might be asking, well, Art, yeah, but how in the world will I know that I'm being called? You know, is a cloak going to fly somewhere? And, you know, am I going to open the mailbox and there's going to be a letter from God? Is there going to be a big booming voice from heaven? Like, you know, like, by the way, in a way, Jerry and Wilma heard the booming voice, you know. But I'm going to tell you, that's not usually the way it's going to happen. It can happen that way. But much more usually, God will use three or four other factors. First of all, he'll use prayer, and especially listening prayer, where somehow you're with God in prayer, and you're listening to his voice, and maybe you're even praying about that need that you see, and pretty soon, as you pray, you'll hear from God. That is, you'll know in your heart and spirit that the Spirit is saying something to you. But secondly, as you begin to hear that, you'll also be reading God's Word. You'll be saying, okay, God, is this consistent with your Word? Is it consistent what I read in your Word? And then, of course, you'll also be talking to godly Christians who will, you'll go to them and you'll say, listen, I seem to be hearing this. What do you think? Is this consistent with what you know about God? And sometimes even you'll look at circumstances. Now, circumstances isn't the first thing you look at. It's way down the list, okay, of things that will affirm what God is saying. But sometimes you say, oh, God is calling. Oh, and look at how he's worked out the circumstances ahead of time. And finally, by the way, if you're ever called to something that will change your life, if you are called, like Jerry and Wilma were, to do something so dramatic, then I hope that you'll talk to one of your pastors, because pastors are charged to keep watch over your souls, according to Hebrews 13. And therefore, any of your pastors would be concerned about what God is speaking to you, and they'll think with you and pray with you about that issue. Now, what happens, guys, is that often we see some need of some kind, or someone talks to us about some need, and they say, hey, listen, would you come and would you be involved in this? And when we begin to pray about it, we begin to hear from God. When we begin to look in his Word, it confirms what we've been hearing. We've been getting godly counsel. And pretty soon we know, yeah, God, this is the need you're calling me to. Many years ago, when Naomi and I were fresh out of college, I was just out of college a couple years, I was an English teacher at a high school, at North Kitsap High School in Paulsbo, Washington. And while I was teaching, on the during the week, a lot of times we would be involved in a ministry at church. It was a drama ministry, believe it or not. This is back in the 70s, remember? And so we were doing drama, and what we were doing, we were writing drama and music, and we were putting it on, and then we would ask people to get saved based on what they'd just seen. And so what we're doing is, over time, we did this, and we thought, man, this is effective. People hear this message, and it's unique, and they place their faith in Jesus Christ. So we got, well, this is a good way to evangelize. Well, pretty soon, Naomi and I, my wife and I, and four other young adults, we all began praying together about the ministry, and pretty soon we were praying about quitting our jobs, because we kind of felt like, well, maybe God, if this is so effective here in this locale, maybe if we quit our jobs and started a ministry, we could write drama and music, and we could tour up and down the West Coast, and people could get saved. And we thought, is this your will? Well, what happened is we began to pray about this, and so we would meet for prayer. And these six adults, we would meet, and we'd say, okay, God, you got to speak to us, because we don't want to quit our jobs and let you speak to us. And then God would speak. And then we would say, okay, you better speak again, because we're going to quit our jobs. And you better speak. So it just really, it took months, really, for it. But finally, at the end, we're going, man, God is saying to us, quit your jobs, quit that teaching job that there were 200 applicants for, and you got the job, quit that thing, and go do this. And we knew, though, that we were hearing from God, that it was his call, and it was clear. Now, guys, all I'm saying here is that God, there is clarity. You will know if God is going to call you. And now, if you have a short-term call, hopefully you won't resist as much as I did, on that long-term deal. Like, man, this is going to make a big change in my life. But it can happen in different ways. You can have a short-term call. My wife, Naomi, just a few years ago, was praying, and she just felt a real call to minister to a young woman in our church, a single woman. This woman, she felt was calling her to disciple her. And so Naomi arranged it. They began to disciple, and not a lot happened. But what happened later is this, that this young woman got into trouble. Her life was kind of a mess. And that relationship that she had forged with Naomi was one of the lifelines of her life during that time. So a short-term call can be just like that. This last year, I felt called to pray for a friend of mine. His name is Ted, and he has a very deadly kind of cancer. And what I was doing is I was writing down his name on my prayer journal, and as I wrote it down, the Lord just spoke to me, your job is to pray for him. I'm calling you to pray for him. Now, can we just be honest? A lot of us have prayer journals, don't we? We're just things we write down, I'm going to pray for this person. But do we always feel called to everything that we put down? Let's be truthful, we probably don't. We say, no, we'll pray for that as God leads us, et cetera, et cetera. But when I wrote that down, I knew God was calling me to pray. And so I've been praying for my friend for months. It was a personal, individual summons to a task that God had for me. It was his call. And I think that many of you probably have felt some call like that. Like, okay, God has got me involved with children this year. I'm going to be involved in ministering to children this way. It's my calling this year. God is drawing me to do that. Or some other ministry. But finally, guys, my only point is this. Finally, you begin to know it's through prayer, through Bible, through circumstances, through counsel. God is the author of this call. And he's summoning me to do this thing. I want you to know God continues to call believers today. And when he does, you can be sure that it will happen clearly in a way that you can understand. Now, that call itself, however, is only half the issue. That brings us to the second truth. The truth is God's call requires an obedient response. Guys, look at verse 20. Because we're gonna move again. Look at it again. We've already read it, but look what happened. He left the oxen. He ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father, mother, and then I will follow you. And then what did he do in verse 21? He took the yoke of oxen, sacrificed them, boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Sometimes, you guys, Elisha gets less than favorable reviews because he went back to kiss his father and mother. Why? Because in Luke 9, we remember Luke 9, look what it says. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So in Luke 9, Jesus is talking about the person who has taken up a calling only to be continually looking back. So you're plowing this field, and you're just always continually looking back. What happens if you're going to look back? You're not going to plow a straight line. And the Greek phrase here means this kind of person was continually looking back. In other words, they had a divided mind. Now, I want you to know that in 1 Kings 19, Elijah's goodbye functions as an entry into kingdom service, not as an obstacle. Luke 9, it was an obstacle, but in 1 Kings 19, it's actually an entry. How do I know? How do I know saying goodbye was what he needed to do to enter into service? Well, because Elisha goes back to sever his connections, not delay his commitment. He doesn't return home to hold back. He returns home to cut loose. And that's exactly what happens here. He takes three actions, and by the way, these are actions I think we should think about, because if God calls us to anything that he wants us to do, man, these actions could be a part of what we need to do as a part of our calling. The first thing that he does here is that he counts the cost. Now, he goes back, he kisses his father and mother. Why? Because he knows that after joining him, that would forever change his family relationships. That his father and his mother would always now be second place to the calling that God had given him. And what was Elijah going to lose in this call? Think about it. If he's counting the cost, what would he have lost in this call? The first thing he would have lost was security. When he was kissing his father and mother goodbye, he was really kissing security goodbye. Why? His father and mother were rich. They had 12 sets of oxen. That in that culture, that would have been rich. He would have lived comfortably in that setting. And yet what happens instead, he's saying goodbye, mom and dad, which means goodbye to those riches. And secondly, he was also forsaking familiarity. And what I mean by that is this. Many of us love routine. We know that life isn't predictable, but somehow when we're in our own home, when we have a job that we can count on, when we have friends and family close by, it all feels so safe, so predictable. Well, what was Elisha familiar with? Think about it. He was familiar with farm, with soil, with livestock, with crops, with family, and with community. How much of that was he going to lose? All of it. He was going to lose all of it. Now, friends, we do have missionaries. In fact, my friends, Jerry and Wilma, they have had some of those kinds of losses. Because when you live in another country for 10 years, you're going to have some of those kinds of losses, aren't you? But let's face it, most of us, many of us, will not be called to go to Cambodia or some other foreign country. So the kinds of losses that we will sustain will be lesser losses. If God's going to call us to some ministry or call us to some larger purpose, okay, it's going to probably mean, what are we going to lose? We're going to lose some discretionary time. Now, it is very precious, isn't it? I don't know about you, but my time is precious to me. And so I want to have time to drink a cup of coffee and stare out into space. I covet that. This is good. And sometimes when you get called to something, you lose discretionary time, and you lose time to watch the Mariners on the big screen, and you lose time like that, and now you're called to this thing, and you don't get to do what you want to do. Now listen, here's the point. If God calls you to leave home and family and security and familiarity, do it. Obey it. But if God asks you to do some lesser thing, then do that. Whatever it is, do what God asks you to do. I can still remember when I quit. I can still remember in the 70s when I went into the North Kitsap District Office and had my letter of resignation, and I laid it down on the principal, on the superintendent's desk. And I was kind of like, okay, because I knew, oh man, what will this mean for my life? And I always thought after I did it, I would go back to teaching. But of course, God was just using that ministry as a conduit into pastoral ministry. He had a whole different plan, because I never went back to teaching after that. But I want you to let you know, I was a little bit frightened of it all. But listen, whatever God says, we do that. Now, what I'm saying is this. It varies with the call, but there's usually a cost. You should count the cost. Another thing that Elisha does, though, is he makes the decision to obey. Now, in order to obey a call, can I say that this? I know this is simple, but in order to obey a call, you must recognize the call. And the reason I say that is, you know, I've just told you how Elisha had the cloak thrown on him, and you say, well, Art, you said that was clear. You said that was really clear. He knew exactly what that was. Yes, it was. But I want you to know, even clear calls, we can fail to recognize. That is, Elisha could have said this, okay, the cloak just landed on me. Oh, man. I know what that would normally mean, but I'm out here with the oxen, man. I got 12 pairs of oxen out here. I'm on the farm. Surely that couldn't mean that God was calling me. I mean, I got to stay here with mom and dad. They need me. He could have ignored the call. He could have said, well, I know what it could mean, but it probably doesn't mean that. And believe me, I've been there too, where I'm going, I think this could mean that, but I hope it doesn't, because that'll mean some sacrifice and some pain. So all I'm saying, first of all, recognize it. And what will happen, guys, is this. Here's how you'll get a call. You'll see a need. You'll see a need somewhere. Or someone will bring you a need, and they'll say, listen, I think maybe you could help with this need. What do you think about that? And then you'll begin to pray about it. You'll begin to look at the scriptures about it. You'll begin to get counsel about it. You'll see what God is saying. And pretty soon, God will call you. When he does, say yes. But I want to let you know, the calls of God in our life are some of the most exciting things that ever happened. Well, we see, oh, wow, when God calls you, he has a purpose. When you say yes to that purpose, you see him at work. Is there anything better than seeing God at work? I don't know. I don't think there's very few things better than that. Oh, yeah, look what you're doing, God, okay? Now, the third thing that Elijah does is this. He commemorates the reality of his call. Look at what he does because it's very, very important. Elijah makes a fire, and for firewood, he uses something very unconventional. He takes the yoke off the oxen that he has been plowing with. Now, does he do that because there is no other firewood? These guys are rich, believe me, they have firewood. They have everything they need. He's taking the yoke of the oxen because he's wanting to use the tools of his trade. When he kills these oxen, this was a sign that he was sacrificing what was most precious to him in his former way of life. The burning of the yokes was a sign that he would not now need the tools of his trade. In other words, you heard the term burn your bridges? That's what he was doing. He was burning the bridge. He was saying, no, this is now God's direction for me. So this whole oxen steak picnic deal, this was all about, okay, I'm giving up my previous calling. I know what direction you have for me now. And it's a way of affirming his decision. Now, friends, we need to remember our calling. Why? If God has called you to something, the reason you need to remember the calling is because every calling will have rough patches. Isn't that true? There will be times in your calling that you will say, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. And you'll want to quit what God has called you to do. Why? Because it won't be all that much fun. And you'll be saying, today it's not enough fun. I'd like to do something else. Well, you know, I remember when we committed to the call of our drama ministry, you know, this thing I told you about in the 70s, when we were young adults. When I committed to that call, one of the things that we did is we went and talked to our pastor. His name was Al Munger. And remember, I'm a school teacher. Naomi is just finishing college. And we go to our pastor, Al, and we say, Pastor, we think God may be saying this, to quit our jobs, but it seems a little radical. You know, what do you think? And truthfully, what I wanted him to say is, yes, God says to go do that. Yeah, absolutely, I confirm. Instead, he said this, well, I can't tell you what to do since you'll have to live with the consequences. But he did say this. He said, remember, make sure that you're called. Because if you are called, you will stay committed. But without a call, you won't stay committed. Because there'll be something that will happen, there'll be too difficult, and you will want out. And his words prove prophetic. Because after the first year of that ministry, it was a hard ministry. We had relationships to deal with, and we had a lot of hard work, and it was all from scratch, and we're trying to make a living, and we're making $400 a month, and so it's not, you know, we were poor, you know. So at the end of the year, we had a decision, should we do this another year? And we said, oh, I think God's released us now, and et cetera. So we lived with that for a few days, and then God's saying, no, I think you got that wrong, son. No, I haven't released you. My call is still in effect. You got to do this another year. You haven't learned enough. So we had to go back and swallow our pride and say, we were wrong. We want to sign up again. And then the next year came. Then we were born as bullheaded by them. We were saying, okay, God, we're going to do whatever you say. And that year, we did it again. So for 3 full years, we lived on no salary and just did that. The point is simply this. Be sure of your calling. Be sure of your calling. Now, guys, am I telling you that you should burn something when you get called? No, I am telling you this. I'm telling you this, though. Burn it in here. Burn it in here. Burn it into your heart. Because you got to know, God called me to this. And until he releases me, I will be obedient to that call. Now, At this point, you're going to need one other truth, and you find it in the last verse of 21. God's call sometimes starts small. Look what it says in the end of verse 21. Then he arose and went after Elisha and assisted him. So, guys, the farewell dinner is over. He's kissed mom and dad. The great calling begins. This is going to be so beautiful. It's going to be what a great calling. I get to be the man. I get to be the prophet. It's going to be great. And then what does it say he does? He assists Elijah. Guys, I'm going to let you know that assisting Elijah would have been a low-level job. You say, how do you know that? Well, one of the ways I know it is what happened in 2 Kings 3. A few years later, Elijah began his calling. A coalition of kings wanted to obtain direction from one of Yahweh's prophets. And a servant of that king said, I know a prophet, his name's Elijah. Look what it says about Elijah here in 2 Kings 3. And Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? And then one of the king's of Israel's servants answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. So, he's called to this powerful and glamorous ministry, and how does he begin his calling? He's pouring water on Elijah's hands, the modern equivalent of bringing your boss a cup of coffee. Okay? Not a very outstanding piece of ministry at all. Guys, 20 years ago, Naomi and I helped start Lighthouse. And three other couples were the initial beginning couples of this church when we planted this church. And we got together and we thought, God can do something through us. We felt called to plant this church. We thought maybe God could reach some people and some people can get saved and it's going to be so great. And so we began the church and it was all so exciting until about 6 months into it when we were working like dogs. And we were thinking, oh man, this is a lot of work. This is painful. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something that I've never told the congregation before. One time we were in one of our meetings, and not only did we do the leadership meetings every week, we 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday morning, we'd show up for the leadership. Then all week we were all working too, and on Sundays we were doing ministry. Saturday nights we're doing ministry. So one of those meetings, about the third hour of the meeting, one of our guys says, you know what? I have a new name for us. Now we forever shall ever be known as the Dumb Dirty Dogs. And, you know, we laughed about it. It broke the tension. And we've been laughing about it for 20 years. All he meant was this calling was a calling of service and sacrifice. It was about assisting Elijah. We started out pouring water on the hands of Elijah. We started out just doing the things that no one else wanted to do. What we were doing was the best we could with the calling God had given us. And there wasn't much recognition. There was no assurance of anything that would happen. And yet somehow we knew, no, this is God's calling. We're going to go for it. And friends, I just want to say, God often starts a calling small. And yet I'm positive that God wanted Elisha to keep the right attitude, to keep going, to keep moving. Just like I'm positive that when God has a call for any of you, He wants you and He wants me to be faithful to that task regardless of how little recognition we get, regardless of the problems that present themselves, regardless of how well I think I'm being treated. Let me give you a postscript. 20 years later, those same four couples are all still here. The Nordbergs, the Olivers, the Boyers, and the Hunts. We're all still here. We're all still the Dumb Dirty Dogs. And there are many, many people who came later who said, nope, I'm an honorary Dumb Dirty Dog. We're called too. And by the way, my hope and prayer is that many of you have felt called to Lighthouse, that this is your assignment from God, so that whether it's smooth sailing or it's rough, you'll know that God has called you to this body. Friends, let me encourage you today. Hey, things start small, but a calling is still God's plan for you. And who knows what fruit will come from that calling. And by the way, if Yahweh's call came from Elisha, what and it started so small, what's wrong with a mundane task for all of us? If Yahweh calls any of us to pour water on the hands of Elijah, and we do it, aren't we following his calling? And does anything else really matter? I don't think so. Now, maybe in the months to come, you'll see a need. Someone will communicate a need to you. Maybe you'll be aware of an opportunity to make a difference, and you won't be able to get it out of your mind, and God's Spirit begins to speak to you. Pretty soon you know, no, I've called. I'm called to that. And you'll step out. You'll be obedient. You'll do what God asks you to do. You'll feel his calling. You'll have to make a decision. Will I obey? My hope and prayer is yes. You'll say, yeah, I will obey. Now, may the God who continues to call his people, the God who plans for his people, calls his people, and he wants them to respond, may he speak to his people, and may we respond, I will follow. Let's pray together right now. Father, I know you have a plan for our lives. I know that you speak to us. I know the Spirit of God can call us. So, Father, now as in the days to come, continue to speak to your kids and help us to know the specific things that you're calling us to. Now, believers, I want you to keep praying because this message is for you, all believers here today. Some of you are exploring Christianity. I want you to know what God requires. Believers, let's pause for a moment in prayer. What is God saying to you? For some of you, he may be affirming a call that he's already given to you. Now listen carefully. Maybe today, God wants you to go back to the day you burned the yoke of oxen. You knew what God was saying. You knew it was his call. Maybe it was called to a task. Maybe it was a call to this church. Maybe it was I don't know what the call was. But whatever it was, go back to the burning of that oxen, the burning of that yoke, and know what God has said to you. And for others, God has been speaking to you about a new calling of some kind, and you've been listening in prayer, and you've been seeking counsel, and you've been reading God's word, and the cost may seem high, but you're willing to take that calling. And then thirdly, some of you might be saying, I just don't have any calling, and I don't know what to do. Hey, listen. Then today, your prayer is, Father, I'm open to the specific things you want me to do in life. Would you help me to be perceptive in the days to come? Just pray that way right now.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org. Or contact us at 253-848-2028.